John chapter 9, and we'll start reading in verse number 18. John chapter 9, beginning in verse number 18, we'd like to speak this morning on the subject of what the cross tells us. It speaks loudly. John chapter 9 and verse number 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Now the background of this, and we haven't read it, is that Jesus has performed a notable miracle and opened the eyes of one born blind. And this is the aftermath of that miracle. Verse number 19. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents, He is of age? Ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you be heard again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, As for this fellow, we not know from whence he is. Then the man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened thine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and they said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye would have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we pray this morning that we would receive the guidance of your Holy Spirit as we look into your word. Lord, we're dealing with a subject here that's difficult for us. Lord, we know that during your time on earth, you ministered among a people that would have named your name, but their heart was far from you. And Lord, we know that the church today is in much the same condition. Lord, there are many that profess to know you that don't, some innocently and would, others whose hearts are hardened will not. Lord, use your word as a judgment with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. What does the cross tell us? What does this story tell us? It tells us indeed a great deal. We're studying the kingdom of heaven parables, in our Sunday school class, and one of the things that we're learning is that our Lord and Savior is sounding a warning. He's trying to tell us something. And what he's trying to tell us is that just because we are involved in the outward organizational form of that which is called a church does not necessarily mean that we are true believers and that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the scripture says it's not a matter of what church you belong to. It's not a matter of what organization you belong to. It's not a matter of which denomination baptized you, but it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of who we're trusting for our salvation. And as we've studied in our Sunday school class, there are a progression of churches mentioned in the book of Revelation, beginning at Ephesus and ending at Laodicea. And in all of those churches except that of Laodicea, the Lord is speaking to the church entirely and calling them to repentance and pointing out that even within them there are true believers and they better hang on to what they have and hold it fast until he comes. But when we get to the Laodicean church, we find him on the outside knocking on the church house door, asking any individual that's within, please come up, answer the door, let me in, and I'll sup with you and you with me. And you'll be my child, and I'll be your God. We live in dangerous, dangerous times. There are so many that are trusting some outward rite that they have performed, trusting in their own righteousness that they have kept at least as much of the law as they're comfortably able to, and so therefore God owes them something. No, he owes none of us anything. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none in this world that's done righteousness. No, not one. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. And sadly enough, we live in a day and age where this message has to be preached to the churches. It's a matter of the heart. And the reason that so many people shy away from the cross and try to make a talisman and an artifact out of it is that it penetrates right down to the deepest core of our being. Let me call your attention again to the scripture that we just read. We have the religious crowd in the nation of Israel here, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the lawyers. Those who profess to know God and to speak in his name and to teach in his name. Now coming face to face with that one that they drew so near with their lips and have proven once again that their heart was far from him. They have a most notable miracle which they cannot deny, done in a most public manner which they cannot hide. And they call this individual into question. And the miracle itself is most instructive. A man that had been born blind, having his eyes opened. Spiritually, we're being told here that all of us were born blind. None of us were born with faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But he who opened the eyes of this one born blind will so gladly open the eyes of whosoever will. Verse number 18 tells us, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that had been blind and received his sight. Their first reaction is, let's ignore this and it'll go away. You can't ignore something that is done in such a public venue, open to the eyes of all, for questions are certain to arise. And so therefore, failing to cover it up, let's call him in here and see if we can't change his mind. I really like what this fellow says. You know, it's not at all surprising to me that I read that when our Lord was 12 years old, he entered into the temple and began to discourse with the doctors of theology of his day. And they marveled But doesn't it strike you as miraculous that this one that's born blind, not a Pharisee, not a lawyer, not a scribe, not one instructed in the word particularly beyond synagogue school, and he probably didn't even go to that because he was born blind. Not a theologian. And he answers these learned doctors. Because of one simple thing that happened to him, he was born blind, and he understood that since the world began, this had never happened, but it happened to him, and that was enough. And now he has more spiritual understanding than all the doctors and the lawyers and the scribes put together. Because as they sought to change his mind, look what he says. Verse number 27, he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. See, this isn't the first session that they've had. This isn't the first instance of jury tampering. They're making another run at this guy. Unlearned. I don't know if they had the scrolls in Braille. But I don't think so. He answered them, I have told you already and you didn't hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? I love this. This is the little guy. The one that people tripped over in the marketplace and paid no attention to. Born with a physical malady, probably as far as they were concerned, due to the curse of God. What sin did his parents commit that he was born blind? Out of the way. We have business to do. His own parents. They toady to these religious thugs. If you want to know about our son, ask him. He's of age. Don't you just love that? Throw their own kid to the wolves. And don't you just love what he says? And he's not even sure who Jesus is yet. He just has hold of one fundamental thing, a tiny grain like a mustard seed of faith. I'm not really sure who did this, but I am sure that it was done. And I am sure that it's a notable miracle. Look what he says to him. Will ye also be his disciples? If you have a sense of humor when you read the scriptures, it really helps. If you could put yourself into this scene, he understood what was going on, but he didn't care. All of their degrees did not impress him. He wouldn't have cared if Gamaliel himself had been the questioner. Oh, you're really interested in this, are you? Do you want to be his disciples? Oh, that I could have been there to see it. Wouldn't you just love to see the looks on their faces? But you don't have to see the looks on their faces. All you have to hear is their words. Look at verse number 29. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we not know from whence he is. If they'd only listened to the words of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy when he straitly charged them, that God's going to raise up another prophet greater than I, and you'd better hear him. I guess they'd read the words of Moses, but they apparently didn't believe those either. This man preaches a marvelous message. And he doesn't even know, really, who it is that's opened his eyes. Look at verse number 30. Why, herein is a marvelous thing. that ye know not whence he is, and yet he's opened my eyes? He's calling them into question. Isn't that interesting? He's turned the tables on them. You're the ones that say you're so smart. You're the ones that say you know who God is. You're the ones that say you know the scrolls. Don't you know by what power my eyes were opened? Where'd you get those theological degrees? Out of a gumball machine? That's effectively what he just said to them. Isn't it amazing what even a grain of mustard seed worth of faith will do for you if you choose to unleash it and you don't care what the world thinks of you? Why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is. And yet he hath opened my eyes. Look what else he says. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Apparently, he'd been hanging around at least at the door of the synagogue school listening in a bit. But if a man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Why, since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing, telling them what they should have already known. How in the world did these religionists ever allow themselves to be placed in a position like this? You know, it pains me to tell you that things haven't changed a bit in 2,000 years. You can go into the average theological seminary of today and see the same thing happen. Only they never claim to be Jews. They claim to be doctors of the Word of God. More degrees than a thermometer, and yet lacking the degree of salvation. Things haven't changed. This man were not of God, he could do nothing. Here's their great theological argument in response to his simple point. Verse number 34, they answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Why do you think you're told not to question the priest or not to question the preacher? Who is it that would suggest that to you? Usually the priest or the preacher. And why? Because they have no answer. Faith is the answer. When we have faith, everything else falls into place. They did not hear, they would not hear, and so therefore they could not hear. See how it works? Look at verse number 35. Jesus knows what's going on. He knew from the foundation of the world. But Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Listen, when religion casts you out, when your belief system fails on you, that's really a good thing. You're stood in good stead, because that's when the Lord comes to us, when we've come to the end of ourselves. They've cast him out. They didn't want anything to do with him. And notice he didn't go to the Lord. The Lord came and looked him up. Isn't that something? When Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? See, he still doesn't know. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. That's all he said. Faith is a grain of mustard seed given in response to a willing heart. Look what happens. Verse number 38, and he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. This is a heart thing. Salvation is a heart thing. It's not a religious thing. It's a heart thing. And now look what Jesus says in verse number 39. And pay particular attention, please. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and they which see might be made blind. A conundrum? And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? They've got an inkling of something here, don't they? Jesus said unto them, if he were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. This is what religion will do to you, folks. It'll make you proud, arrogant, self-satisfied know-it-alls. And when confronted with the most obvious truth, they reviled him and cast him out. You see, the scripture says, whosoever will, he may take of the water of life freely. The only thing that you can do as a human being is to be willing to be made willing. That's it. You can't drum up faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But if you would be willing, the Lord will give you faith to be able to believe him. That's what happened to this man. He couldn't open his own eyes. He couldn't lift himself up by his own bootstraps. He couldn't be made to see by works of righteousness which he had done. But he simply put his faith in someone that could do something for him that he could in no wise do for himself. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 and verse number 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now you probably already know that Isaiah is the evangelist of the Old Testament, and he draws a picture of what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. That same passage of scripture that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading as he departed from the temple, his spiritual needs not being met by the religion of the Jews, and the Holy Spirit brings Philip up to his chariot. Do you understand what you're reading? No. Is the prophet talking about himself or some other man? He was willing to be made willing. The treasurer of the Ethiopians, a man of very high rank, in as many ways as you can possibly imagine, the opposite of the man that had been born blind, but they had one common denominator. They both were willing to be made willing. that Ethiopian eunuch, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Head it in the right order. Believe first. Baptism is nothing more than an outward testimony of what you already believe in your heart. But that brings up the question, what does the cross tell this world? Who has believed our report? Who is it that is willing to accept this truth? That we cannot save ourselves, but that Jesus Christ, through His death, burial, and resurrection, opened a way for salvation for us that we couldn't open for ourselves. And all we have to do is be willing to receive it, be willing to believe. And maybe you'd be sitting there saying, I can't believe that. There's a reason you can't believe that, because you're not willing. Like the scribes and the Pharisees in the story just a moment ago, you're not willing. The reason that they could not understand in their heart what they had professed with their mouth was because they were not willing. And that's always been the problem with our race. It's never been anything else. It's never been a lack of religious observance. There's more religion in this world than there is just about anything else I can think of. You can't go any place in this world and hide from religion. It's everywhere. But religion is nothing more than man's failed attempt to reach out to God. Well, your arm's not long enough. But the arm of the Lord has been revealed to you, and His arm's not shortened that He cannot save. An ear is not dull of hearing that He cannot hear the plea of one that would say, I can't do it myself. But if You do it for me, Lord, I'd be willing. That's it. That's the transaction right there in a nutshell. And the question now is, have you ever received Christ? You know, the Lord Jesus preached a powerful message to this man that had been born blind, because the children of Israel had a right to expect that God would manifest Himself through miracles. He doesn't do that today. The great miracle that He manifests Himself in today is the faith that He gives us to believe. And that's a far greater miracle than physically opening the eyes of one that had been born blind so his retina could perceive images cast upon it by the lens of his eye and have it translated by the brain into a picture. Wow, I can see. No, you can't see until you have the eye of faith. Then you can really see. Because this physical eye will perish. But the eye of faith, never. There's going to come a day when everybody in this room is going to be buried in a pine box. The doctor will say he's dead as a wedge. Fill out a piece of paper called a death certificate. Then they'll toss your carcass into an oven or a pine box, your choice. Preacher, that's too graphic. Not for me. I got saved at a funeral. You know, I marry precious few people, but I will never turn down an invitation to preach a funeral. There is nothing like a funeral with a body in a box to bring everybody that's sitting in front of it face to face with a reality, a cold, hard reality that sooner or later, that will be me, and then what? The Scripture uses great plainness of speech to gain our attention. After this life is over, then what? Then every one of us knows in our heart We didn't make ourselves. There are no atheists in foxholes, they say. All of us knows that there is a God, and all of us know that we're in trouble with Him. But do you know salvation? Has the cross revealed a different message to you than what it reveals to the human race in general? Do you see the cross as that songwriter that wrote the old rugged cross sees the cross? Have you ever received what Jesus Christ did for you? Or, as far as you're concerned, did He die in vain? It's your choice. God will not overthrow you. He respects your individuality. He made you that way. It's the devil's game to overthrow your will. But if you hear the pleading of that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, don't turn it away. He loves you. This blind man didn't go looking for Jesus. Even after he'd received his sight, Jesus found him and came to him. And if He's knocking on the door of your heart, don't turn Him away. Be saved today. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank You for Your Word. Lord, the events recorded here happened 2,000 years ago, and if it were transmitted by word of mouth, there's no telling what the story would be today. But You've guarded and preserved Your Word. Lord, we understand that it's historical truth and fact. And it tells us something about the cross. A terrible secret. Maybe a dirty little secret. That there are so few that believe. And yet, Lord, You knock at the door of every heart. You said if You be lifted up, You would draw all men unto You. And so there's nobody that's here in the congregation this morning or that's in any part of the world that could ever say that You never cared for them and You never came for them. You never called unto them. But Lord, You leave it up to our individual will as to whether we're willing to be made willing. If we just go that far, Lord, we understand by Your Word that You'll take care of the rest. I pray, Lord, that You'll speak to those this morning, for we know that we live in the Laodicean age, and there may be some here this morning that have been religious, been in church all their lives, heard countless numbers of sermons, and yet, when they ask themselves the simple question, where will I go when I leave here? They don't honestly know. They don't have a no-so salvation. Lord, I pray that You'd speak to them this morning, that they might make their calling and election sure. In Jesus' name, amen.